Now let's join Party Line on WILO.
The Party Line Team.
AM 1570, 96.9, and Boone 102.7 FM. WILO, Frankfort, Lebanon, Delphi.
All right, welcome aboard on the WILO Party Line. And of course, as always, WILO Party Line presented by BooneCountyDailyNews.com, CarrollCountyDailyNews.com, and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your local news sources, as well as the Big Deals page. Save money now and 24/7 at WeLoveBigDeals.com. Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives. Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance in Frankfort, like a good neighbor, Susan is there. Vierks Fine Jewelry in Lafayette. Marchand's Window Tinting in Antioch, they stick it where the sun shines. And Compass Credit Union, community-minded just like you. And TC Trailers, if you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight. The online telecast at HoosierLandTV.com is brought to you by our friends at Day and Getty Funeral Home. Pat Day hanging out here for at least the first few minutes of Party Line today, as well as our friends at ProBuy Computer Sales and Service, Reinhart Realtors, the Farmers Bank, and 51 West Event Center on HoosierLandTV.com on behalf of WILO and Boone 102.7. So, as we're getting ready to gear up for the show, Pat, do you have another couple of community events you'd like to touch on real quickly?
Yeah, we'll just kind of recap of what we talked about. Today, we got Cookies for the Cause at the Chamber starting at 8:30, so kicking off now.
So right now, yeah.
Yeah. We've got the 1:30 today. We've got the Rafa Medical Clinic ribbon cutting on 51 West Washington Street. And then this tomorrow, of course, is the as we're celebrating Lent, we're getting closer to Easter. St. Mary's Catholic Church, the Knights of Columbus there is putting on the Lenten fish fry. So head out there between 4:30 and 7 on Fridays during Lent to Muller Hall at St. Mary's and get your goodies. I'm not sure how healthy it is, but get some goodies while you're in there. So
right.
And but yeah, and the Civic Theater on Sunday has their auditions for their spring play in May, Lickety Split, 6 o'clock at the theater there at the library. So that's what's coming up this weekend.
All right, very good. And man, I see it always feels like when we get to this time of year, like around the Fire and Ice Festival and all that stuff, this feels where things start to ramp up.
And you're
getting into the season and things are going to get busy, and it's kind of a joyful time because you're out of the winter doldrums and St. Patrick's is on the way.
That's right. By the way, thank you for acknowledging my holiday. I appreciate that. So, I've never really considered myself a saint, but you know, I appreciate the nod.
Now I have to know because I didn't.
And red hair and all.
That's right. Yes, absolutely. And red hair. I'm as Irish as they come. So yeah,
So I do have to ask now that I know a little bit more about you on the morning show. I didn't know before. Are you named after the saint, or do you know?
Well, yes.
Or did your parents just like the name?
Well, it's funny because I know more about what I would have been as a female if I was a girl. All three of us boys were going to be called Bridget Lee was our name if we were going to be. So evidently God did not like us that be that name, so she gave mom and dad three boys. But no, I don't know if I was named specifically after the saint, but I know that growing up with our Catholic heritage growing up, that we knew the importance of the name and where the name came from. Mm-hmm. And so Patrick is highly honored, mm-hmm. and Michael is messenger of God. Mm-hmm. And so I understand the meaning of my name, and you try to live up to those, but sometimes those meanings are awful lofty.
Yeah. So. and the interesting thing with my sister and I is that our names are traditional Irish. My mom was not that focused on it. She actually just liked the names, and then come to find out our names actually fit our heritage. Yeah. Todd is the fox, as you recall, from The Fox and the Hound.
Yep.
And Kara is Kira, angel, in Gaelic. Yeah. So I've always liked that mom didn't intend to do that, but it accidentally kind of fell together the right way.
Yeah.
Melissa Miller is in the studio for those of you who are listening.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing dandy.
Now on Hoosierland TV, if you were watching close to the beginning of the show, you saw Melissa come in because Norm is still in the studio, and Norm is getting some affection, and so is Melissa. So is this going to enrage your dog?
No.
Nope. All right.
No.
So who's our first guest this morning? I know we got somebody.
Dr. John Millman.
Oh, good. Dr. John Millman in. Yeah. Always good to have him. I suppose should go ahead and get right to it. Dr. Millman, thank you so much for coming in today on the Party Line. Glad to have you.
Always a pleasure.
So since we're talking before we officially get into the review about names and heritage, did John have a familiar or heritage or religious dynamic, or do your parents just like the name?
Actually, I think just like the name, I spell my first name without an H, and my dad's name is Vaughn, V-O-N.
Nice.
So I think there was a little nod to his first name as well.
Now,
so,
do you both share a middle name?
We do not.
Yeah.
We do not. My middle name is after my mom's father.
Nice. I like that. I love it when there's a heritage like that in names.
Yeah.
That's just, I know that sounds weird, but we don't have that heritage in my branch of the family. So,
mm-hmm.
So Melissa, what would we like to ask Dr. Millman today?
Well, I know we might as well hit all the major construction that you have going on. I mean, your whole school system is under construction. From every elementary school, you know, to the high school, everything has some kind of a project going on. So let's just go down the list. And the other
sure.
side of it, too, is I kind of wanted to ask you about the air quality issue that you had with Perry Worth Elementary. And I know mm-hmm. that the fire department had investigated and put out a statement on that. But I'd like for you right. to talk about that as well.
Sure, sure. Well, from the construction standpoint, we just opened our new varsity softball field. The team is practicing on it for the first season, so we'll have a kind of a ribbon cutting here soon at one of their first games, inviting the alumni back and a state championship team to come back and help us christen the field, if you will. So we're looking forward to that. We're coming right along. Central Elementary has got a structure up now. There's the gymnasium is almost completely enclosed, and so we're starting to see the shape of that building. Harney Elementary, the new administrative offices and STEM classroom and SRO office will be the first part of the building to open, and that will be opened right after spring break, and then we start some of the demolition inside the building and begin to start shifting some teachers around as we deal with the renovation there. Similar at Perry Worth, we'll be opening four new classrooms within the next several weeks, and then be doing the shuffle of teachers as we renovate classrooms within the building in those upcoming months. We are almost complete with the design phase of the middle school renovation. We've got a couple more detailed design meetings with the architect. That will be going out for bid here late mid-spring, I would say, and then hopefully we'll be able to break ground here late summer, early fall on the middle school project. We are just in the design phase at the high school with redesigning some office spaces, looking at a student activity center, touching some areas of the building that were not renovated in 2010, 2012 when that renovation was undergone. We should be breaking ground any day on the transportation center, so we're excited to be able to provide that more modern and safe environment for our drivers and transportation. What am I leaving out? I think that's about it for now.
Yeah, I think that's actually pretty good going down the list. One of the other things that I wanted to we wanted to talk about that air quality issue. Can you talk a little more about that? What the actual problem was and what the findings were?
Yeah, never was any finding of any anomalous air quality through any of the concerns that were shared. We had several anonymous reports, and of course we addressed each of those. You mentioned the fire departments. We've had the Indiana Department of Health on site, Boone County Health Department on site, Indiana OSHA on site, and we have commissioned two independent full air quality evaluations of the building, and none of the reports have reported any anomalous air quality issues. So we'll continue to do that. We've taken several proactive steps as you do, but we have on-site air scrubbers that are have been in place actually since November, and we take air quality monitoring in that building at least 3 times a day with our multi-ray air quality meters. So I guess nothing to report because there was never any anomalous readings throughout that process.
That has to make your parents and grandparents and even your faculty members feel extremely secure in the fact that you guys went to such detail and are continuing to have that detail to to monitor everything. So that has to make
we had some concerning symptoms and there were symptoms of folks that experienced in the building, but of course one of the things you do is to try to respond to that and determine whether there's any readings that would indicate an air quality issue. And so, each time those situations arose, you take the best care and use the best equipment and the best expertise that you can. So,
with all the construction going on, I'm sure there's got to be some complaints, but has there been very much people complaining about it, or what about compliments about everything that you guys are doing, all those projects?
Well, good questions. We haven't had a lot of gnashing of teeth, if you will, through the process. However, we have not disrupted significantly classroom spaces yet, with a few exceptions. Our specials teachers, like art and music, have been affected because we needed some of their classrooms to become general ed classrooms, and so they maybe are teaching some of those courses classroom by classroom rather than having a dedicated space. They've been great to work with. They understand that they're going to have a better space on the other side of this construction, and so they've been really very professional and great to work with. I think probably mostly compliments, but we really haven't there hasn't been much to unveil. Everything's kind of behind the steel curtain, literally, that is being built right now. Right after I hang up with you folks, we are creating a video that we're going to be publishing here in the next few weeks that will be highlighting the projects. So people are going to get a little bit better peek behind the curtain and be able to see some of those projects, with aerial views and some of the completed areas or almost completed areas. So we're excited to do that, and hopefully that'll generate some excitement in the community.
Yeah, and definitely that gives you that full transparency in everything that's going on, and that's so important nowadays.
Right.
So
yep.
Congratulations on getting that put together.
Right.
With one of the other things I wanted to talk to you about, too, was the Whitestown area. I mean, massive growth in Whitestown over the last few years, and I know that students come from Whitestown all the way to Lebanon, and that can propose a long bus ride for kids. Is there any thoughts on possibly expanding to the Whitestown area, or what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I think that's an interesting conversation. We're compiling information right now that there is a perception about distance. I think this is my fifth or sixth school district that I've worked in over my career. And really, truthfully, the distance between homes and, say, the middle school and high school campus in Lebanon schools is very comparable to many area and regional school districts. There's always going to be residents that perhaps live in the extreme edges of your school district, but I go back to my time in Washington Township in Indianapolis. Folks don't always realize that North Central High School is on 86th Street, the far north edge of that school district, and the district goes to 38th and Kessler on the southwest side of the city. And when you look at bus rides and distance and time to get to North Central High School for activities, it's a longer commute than any from any distance in Lebanon schools. So our distance to our current middle school and high school are very comparable to a Brownsburg or Noblesville or Plainfield or Danville or Northwest Hendricks. So you really have to look at your student population and what you're able to do from a budgetary standpoint. There's, you know, the state legislators are looking at having more of a consolidation mindset than they are, you know, having tiny schools that are under operation. There's just not the fiscal levers and revenue for this school district to be considering like an additional school for a very small number of students.
Again, we're speaking with Lebanon Community School Corporation Superintendent John Millman. If you have a question for our guest, please feel free to call 765-659-3338. Dr. Millman, I know everybody is in the spring. It seems like that's when everyone wants to look at curriculum and whether or not they want to expand the curriculum, whether they're happy with what they're using. And I know that was one of the things the last time we talked that you guys were looking at, especially in the technical side of it. So have you gotten any findings or anything in some of the research that you guys were doing on that?
Well, I think, you know, all schools in Indiana are being charged with kind of gearing up for the new state requirement of aligning the reading program with what's called the science of reading. And the science of reading is not a curriculum. Science of reading is a framework. There's a list of approved programs within that framework that the state has just recently published in the last few weeks. And so school districts all over the state are in the process of selecting a reading program from that list. And so we're no exception to that. And I think we have narrowed our choices to, I believe, two different programs. So should be making that decision soon. The middle school, from the technical side, we have posted an additional STEM position, and that's made possible by our operating referendum. And within that coursework, we're going to be really focusing in on some of the pre-engineering coursework so that our students can get exposure and some knowledge and skills in that area to help them continue that as they matriculate through high school and take some of the higher level pre-engineering classes. So yes, we've been hard at work looking at kind of a continuum through the curriculum on both those fronts.
Well, and I know you guys have an extremely extensive area for technical schooling. You guys have worked on that over the years, and it's state of the art. So bringing the junior high into that's kudos to you guys for letting them get a taste of that at the younger age, because you know, kids, and you know, if we fully don't expect anybody at the age of 18 to know exactly what they want to do in life, but to be exposed at different opportunities. And I think middle school, junior high, you know, whichever you have, I think that's an actual great age to give them a little bit of exposure of everything, you know, to spark those interests so that they know kind of down the road, maybe I want to take this class or maybe I want to take that class.
Right. And courses like that not only help you explore, you know, STEM and areas and pre-engineering, it's really a practice and problem solving, which is going to be applicable to whatever field they may choose down the road.
Recently, a new field house was built in Lebanon, and it recently opened. Is that something that the school corporation might end up utilizing, especially with all the construction that you guys have got going on right now?
Well, I suppose it's possible. We haven't been in contact with them on usage of their facility. They have been in contact with us regarding uses of our facilities, because as tournaments come to town and needs for additional spaces materialize through their contacts and what they're putting together. We're going to be sitting down very soon with them. With our construction, obviously, there will be some challenges around that. We'll be taking one of our gymnasiums offline for quite some time at the middle school as we need that space for some classroom spaces as we renovate the building. So we've got some challenges from a construction standpoint, but we're looking forward to a positive and productive relationship with the Fieldhouse, reciprocal type relationship, and there's just a lot of details that still have to be thought through and ironed out, but we're looking forward to having those conversations and helping each other for years to come.
Well, yeah, and I would think if you guys can come to a working relationship, that might actually bring more, I don't want to say tourism, but definitely more commerce to the area, just because
sure.
Between the two facilities, you'll be able to offer a lot to sporting events, even
sure.
Speaking engagements, leadership,
yes.
Conferences, all kinds of stuff,
yes.
because of all that added
yep.
space.
Yep, good point. And so, yeah, the Herman B. Wells Community Center, was partially funded by the city of Lebanon when that was built. And so, it is a community center, to your point. And so, yes, it would be great. And then being able to have our coaches or student athletes, take advantage of some of those leadership opportunities is something we could certainly look forward to.
Well, Dr. Millman, before again, we're speaking with Lebanon Community School Corporation Superintendent Dr. John Millman. Before we let you go, is there anything else that you want to discuss that's happening at the school corporation?
Well, I think we covered a lot of the highlights. I think we're going to be one of the things that we've talked about in preparation for our referendum. Capital referendum, mm-hmm. and prior to construction of the new elementary, is that most likely early fall we will begin kind of a roadshow, if you will, and communication with the community about enrollment rebalancing of our four elementaries. We are going to be required to redraw our attendance boundaries for our elementary schools, and that has not been done for. Decades, I'll say. I think last estimate was around 20 years before there was anything, significant done in redrawing our attendance boundaries for the elementaries. So that's something for folks to look for. We're going to try to get our enrollment for the 24-25 school year kind of defined, and then we're going to build our models off of the 24-25 school year enrollment. But we'd like to have some decisions made by the end of 24, January of 25, because we will be opening the four elementary schools and renovated schools with new attendance boundaries in the August of 2025.
Let me ask you this question and I understand the whole point of basically redistricting because of the population and the growth of Lebanon,
sure.
and the outer community. With the no tuition, being able to choose what school your child goes to, do you look for that to maybe cause problems with that?
Oh, I really don't know how to anticipate that. I mean, we're very proud of our programming, and we know that we'll have wonderful facilities and programming for students regardless of the school they attend. That's been the major goal of the Capital Project, is regardless of your address within the district, all of our students will have a high quality modern facility and have the same curriculum, same programming, same student supports. We'd be proud to and I would be proud to send my child to any school in the district, and so I just focus on that, but there's no way to predict how that may or may not affect our situation.
Just one last question, since we're talking about that. Do you guys have a significant amount of people that come into the school corporation that normally wouldn't be here, be there because of the, you know, location where they live?
Yeah, good question. We do have a number of students who choose to attend here from outside the district. In Indiana, you can choose to have to accept out-of-district students into your school district or not accept students who do not live in your boundaries. We do accept students who live outside of our boundaries to attend here, and so we do have a number of families who do choose us. We also have a number of our families that live within our district that choose other options, whether it be a private school, a different public school, or perhaps a charter school. So that would be the same for every school district in Indiana. I think
sure.
The numbers are a little bit larger when you get closer to areas like us, like metropolitan areas, and then the donut counties around that,
mm-hmm.
because there tends to be more options within those highly populated areas within the state. But with the inclusion now of the online charter schools, I believe many of our rural communities are beginning to see more transfers out as that option has increased over the years.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I really don't see that changing. I think the growth of online schooling is going to continue just because of people's lifestyles.
Yeah, I think you're correct. I think, there's still, however, a large significant population who want students to be involved in clubs and activities and
yep.
athletics and having face-to-face interaction and understand the importance of in-person learning. So it's, like I said earlier, kind of ties into your previous question. It's just very hard to predict that, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Millman, I really appreciate you being on. We thank you for speaking to us we're kind of on a every other month rotation, and
we call it a frequent basis, right?
Yes, exactly. And we're excited to see everything that's going on with the Lebanon Community School Corporation, and good luck with all the construction projects. I know this up and down weather kind of affects it, but right now it's looking like March is going to come in like a lamb. So I'm not predicting anything for April at this point.
we'll take all the dry weather we can take right now under. So.
Yeah, I'm sure. So, again, we've been speaking with Lebanon Community School Corporation, John Millman, superintendent there. Thank you again, sir, for calling in, and we look forward to the next time.
Thank you very much. See you soon.
All right, looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I love it when we have the accidental theme show.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe not even accidental. This may have been intentional. But not only do we have Dr. John Millman in here, we also have Sean Reeves standing by from the Boone County Chamber of Commerce. He is the executive director. Again, people who were watching this on HoosierlandTV.com saw me essay Pat Day and Norm, the grief therapy dog, out of the building. And Sean actually got the chance to meet Pat. So again, it's all about networking, right, Sean?
Absolutely. Make those contacts.
All right. So Sean Reeves will be in here officially on WILO, but he has been unofficially here for a few minutes checking out some of the rest of the show.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and get that break over with, and mm-hmm. we'll be back with Executive Director of the Boone County Chamber of Commerce,
yes.
Sean Reeves.
All right, it's WILO Party Line. Stick around.
The Party Line Team.
AM 1570, 96.9, and Boone 102.7 FM, WILO, Frankfort, Lebanon, Delphi.
Did you know there are benefits to window tinting other than that cool and sleek look? Keeping your vehicle's interior protected is one of those benefits. Marchand's Window Tinting does top quality window tint installation that comes with a lifetime warranty. Located on State Road 39 in Antioch, Marchand's Window Tinting is professional and locally owned with years of expertise.
This is Alan Marchand at Marchand's Window Tinting, and we stick it where the sun shines.
Winter is a time to bundle up and stay warm. And at Encompass Credit Union, nothing warms the heart like the feeling of financial security. They're a community-oriented banking solution that's here for their neighbors in Tipton, Clinton, and Howard counties. Come by any of the Encompass branches today to open an account or apply for a loan online at EncompassCU.org. Join Encompass in building a more secure financial future together.
DC Trailers. Oh.
Honey?
TC Trailers.
Honey, wake up.
What? What's wrong?
You were dreaming about TC Trailers again.
Oh, they do have over 300 trailers on the lot. Cargos, haulers, concessions, landscaping.
Mm-hmm.
They have that loaded parts store and their on-site repair shop for all makes and models, even warranty repairs.
Okay, okay. We'll go tomorrow. Let's get some sleep.
TC Trailers, a dream come true. Stop in or visit tc-trailers.com. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight.
Life insurance is one of those subjects that make people want to change the subject, rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house insurance or life without having to give up college insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on with your family. Call State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort at 765-659-5678. And put the life back in life insurance.
People ask a lot of questions about Ivy Tech Community College. Like, can an Ivy Tech degree get me a good career? Well, some say good, and some say great. In 2 years or less, you can earn an associate degree or certificate, qualifying you for some of Indiana's fastest-growing career fields, and earning you an average of $37,777 the first year after graduation. Find your answers at ivytech.edu/FAQ. Then apply for free at ivytech.edu.